Welcome to Lessons That Last, where a researcher and a teacher talk about what it means to make a lasting impact on students' lives. They unpack the stories former students shared about their memorable teachers and discuss how we can all make a greater impact on the people in our lives. Here's Julie and Laura.
Hello, and welcome to the Lessons That Last podcast. I'm Julie Hassan, professor, researcher, and with me is my favorite teacher and co-host,
Laura Estes-Swilly, high school English teacher.
And you picked a great story, and it made me think about something that's been happening here at Appalachian State, where the two Drs. Hassan both work. Women's volleyball the season has just ended, but we attended as many women's volleyball games as we could. And wow, that was an exciting sport to be part of. And I don't think we have attended as many women, certainly not as many women's sports events as we have men's. And of course, App State football is always a draw, baseball, basketball, but women's volleyball may be the most exciting of all of them.
Yeah, women's volleyball is amazing. That's one of the
sports that is really big here in Florida for girls. It's pretty well followed. I think as a whole, women's sports don't get a lot of attention. And I'm hearing that from my female soccer players because soccer season just started. They just had their first game last week. And the boys play at 7. And then the girls play after. And what they see is the stands drain after the boys' game. And it's just a few sprinkling of parents and maybe a couple friends who are there for the girls' games. And that's pretty hurtful to the girls.
Yeah, I imagine, because they've practiced as hard and prepared as hard and they play as hard. And I loved just the atmosphere at women's volleyball. And the team sort of dynamic is very different.
Yes.
Super collaborative, very supportive, just always up. And between points when the music would come on, they'd be dancing. They just had such a good time. So you had a good time watching them. And when someone made an error, I don't even know what you call it in mom still learning about the volleyball.
A mistake.
When something didn't go as planned or as hoped.
Yeah.
They were so supportive of each other, and they were like in a big circle hug as they reset every time. And Sarah is amazing. And it just had a different feel than the men's sports that we watch. It was so much fun.
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, I guess we could go back to the things that we talk about all the time with the patriarchy and the lack of appreciation for some female things, but I don't know why women's sports aren't more attended and more beloved by communities, because those are some athletes.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if it's because us as women maybe don't attend sporting events as much as
probably
people who identify as male tend to go to sports events more. Mm-hmm. And I will just maybe guess that we're a little busy. <That's> part of it. Women are a little busy holding up the whole world.
Yeah.
Taking care of everybody and everything and doing all the things. Probably part of it, but not all of it. You know, and maybe we just... I know for us, if I think back to our high school years, we just didn't hear as much about women's sports. Like it wasn't promoted as much. If we had friends on the team, we would go and support our friends. But other than that, I don't remember hearing as much about it on the morning shows and in the newspaper and all the places that you would hear about sports events.
That's true. I think that the high schools do a better job than they did in our day. The female sports are recognized at pep rallies. They talk about it like on the school morning show, that kind of thing. But it's still apparently a problem. And I think that ticket sales will tell you that. And in the end, in the South, it's always football, which what is your moneymaker? It's football. Thousands of people come out on a Friday night to watch a football game. There's probably, we're lucky if it's hundreds who show up for a soccer game or a baseball game. Well, I mean, when I think about going to a baseball game, those stands are small. You can't bring hundreds and hundreds of people to a baseball game. The way the stadiums are built, it seems like they're built knowing these aren't going to get as much support. The softball games happen at the same time the baseball games happen, right? So the girls and boys are playing. You have to choose. So I don't know. It's just, yeah, they always get a little bit of the short end and everyone gets behind football in line. Football's first.
Football is first. I mean, at a university that has a football team, for sure, there's, I mean, those stands at App games have anywhere from 20,000 to 40,000 folks, right, depending on the game. It's always going to be packed at App State football. Basketball is growing. Some of it is the students. You know, this, mm-hmm. the student section is big at football, and it's growing at App State basketball. But there were a couple of nights in women's volleyball where, and I noticed the women were, I walked to lunch one day, the day before a volleyball game, and the girls were handing out little promotional flyers to the other students coming into the cafeteria. And if you are a student and you attended the volleyball game, you got a free, I want to say, Klondike bar, some kind of ice cream.
And that's cool.
Students turned out and it was so much fun. And in volleyball, they switch sides of the net. Mm-hmm. So our student section, App, notoriously is a little rowdy. They would go behind, sit behind the opposing team's side.
Of course.
I mean, even though these are women, right? Do a bit of heckling and, you know, trying to get a little, get them off their game a little. But it was fun. Like, it was all in good spirit. And when the students are there, it makes a big, a big difference because they're always a little more enthusiastic than the old folks like us.
Yes.
And I know the girls, the women appreciated that student support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hear about it a lot. And I also just right this year happen to have some female soccer players. They are more vocal than the male soccer players. I have a couple of them. I didn't even know one was a soccer player until Thursday. But with other sports like basketball or softball, I don't hear as much. I just don't hear as much. A girl approached me in the hallway who I've never seen before on Thursday and said, "My teacher won't buy my basketball shirt. Do you need a basketball shirt?" And I was like, "Well, show me. What does it look like?" And I said, "Sure, I'll buy your shirt." But that's the first basketball shirt I may ever have purchased in 24 years. Yeah.
And I wonder too, like, when I think about this and I think about all the arenas that we are in that have been traditionally male arenas and how much better you have to be as a woman to stand out in any way in that arena, whether it's being a superintendent of a school district, like you have to be so much better. Almost, I think many superintendents who are women would say beyond reproach.
Yes.
Like, you have to work harder, be better. Mm-hmm. And I think in any space we are trying to be in that has traditionally been predominantly men, we have to be better.
Yeah.
And women's sports are no exception. The reason that women's soccer in the United States suddenly has a fan base is because those women were so good.
Mm-hmm. And vocal.
And vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard to be the one always crowing about what you're doing, right? You need a fan base who crows about you as well. And I actually think that's in many ways, the heart of today's story, is finding a fan base that will help you fan your feathers, that will say all the things that you can't really say about yourself.
So maybe that's a good time to talk about this story. So this is Jamie's story about Miss Kessler, her high school English teacher. So Laura, will you share Jamie's story with us?
Absolutely. I played basketball in high school. I was a good player and we were a good team, but the girls' teams never got the attention that the boys' teams did. I did have one loyal and enthusiastic fan though, my English teacher, Ms. Kessler. I remember looking up into the stands during one game and seeing Ms. Kessler holding a sign with my name, number, and picture. The sign said, "That's my student." My teacher waved that sign and cheered every time I made a good play. I can't even explain how much Ms. Kessler's support meant to me. And she didn't just support me at the games. She talked about our team in class and posted our schedule on the board. Because of her encouragement, my classmates started showing up. We won the district title that year, and I definitely think the fans helped. Ms. Kessler is a big part of my memories from that winning season.
Oh, Ms. Kessler.
She understood.
Ms. Kessler.
Yes, she understood. This is what you have to do when you work in a high school. You have to support those kids outside the classroom. And Jamie,
I wonder if Ms. Kessler had been an athlete growing up. We don't know from this story, but anyone who's competed in anything like this knows that if you have people cheering for you, that context makes a difference. Like, there's a reason there's a home field advantage because of the fans.
Yeah.
So if you were playing in your home field with no fans, there is no advantage except that you know the space, right? So somehow Ms. Kessler knew that.
Yes. I think she also understood that very important foundation of showing up for your kids so they show up for you. I have witnessed the difference it makes many, many times over my career to be there and support and then also amplify, like Ms. Kessler did. She amplified it. She talked about the team. She talked about the games. She showed the schedule on the board. Supporting and amplifying your players changes the way those players work for you.
Yeah. And as a woman, she was amplifying women's sports.
Yes. It was great.
Which is something we should all do. I should do a better job of that. Something we should all do more as women.
Yeah. I had an athletic director at our school who was a former coach, of course. And she said to me one time, and it has stuck with me for probably a decade, that when you're coaching, if you create the right environment and you create the right culture, those athletes will run through concrete walls for you. They will do anything for you that you ask them to do because they have created that synergy. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what athletes understand. Like, we're going to bond as a team. We're going to make it happen, whatever needs to happen. And when you as a teacher step into that with your support, you become a part of that. They will run through walls for you as well. They need you to be there, even if they don't know they need you to be there. When you show up, it means everything. And so I think you're right. We should do a better job of supporting our female athletes. We should support all of our athletes because other than football, they all need more people to be there cheering them on. In a southern town like mine, everyone's showing up for football, but they may not even know when the basketball game is. So we have to do a better job. And it's just like one more responsibility that we take on ourselves, but it's also a responsibility that brings joy. It's fun. It's exciting.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's and for us, you know, Brian and I at the university level, it's a high skill level once you become an athlete at this level. And I think about the discipline they have and the balance they're trying to strike as they're taking college classes and playing this sport, especially during their season.
Right.
I don't know how they do it. They're amazing. And we've learned that each sport has a different feel, and you sort of learn about things. So wrestling was new to Brian. You and I, growing up in Brandon, Florida, knew a lot about wrestling. We had a lot of friends who were wrestlers.
Right.
But Brian didn't know quite as much about it and has started going to App State Wrestling. And they've got a great wrestling team, but they haven't always had as many fans. And he is so interested in the sport and the strategy and the rule, because he will love to learn about all of that, the yes. rules and the strategy, wanting to understand all of the things. And, you know, you can talk to the athletes about that, and they love to talk to you about their sport. So it's
right, because it's, you it's care about it. Yeah. You care about what they're doing, not just what they're doing in your room, right? Because if you think about it at the university level as well, they're coming into your space to do what you care about. Right. Then when you go to their realm, you're showing up for what they care about, and it creates a real mutual respect.
And it's inspirational for all yes. of us to see someone with such discipline and skill that has been hard earned over many years. It is. Every time I watch a student athlete, I'm inspired by that.
Yes. Yeah. And I am a little inspired by Ms. Kessler with her sign. I always feel like I don't want to make a spectacle of myself, right? I'll be there and I'm like cheering for you, and I will try to make sure you see that I'm there. But I don't know that every kid wants me to hold up a sign with their face on it that says, "That's my student." And she just went all in. And I really respect that, Ms. Kessler.
I love that. So Brian has a student right now playing basketball. He's a very good basketball player. And his last name is Mantis.
Okay.
Mantis.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you remember, but several Halloweens ago, Brian had this giant praying mantis costume. And I'm telling you, there's going to come a yes. basketball game where he will show up to support Mantis like that.
I need some advance warning of that. I think we're going to come. I think we need to be there. So I need to know when he's
likely
going to
be on one of the ESPNs.
We would like to actually be in town for that. So please let us know.
I will let you know. But I imagine as a student athlete, you want passionate fans. Like,
yes. Yeah, that's true.
And I don't think it distracts them. Like, be all in, mm-hmm. hold the sign, yell their number. Brian, again, whatever sport we're watching, if someone is an accounting major, even at the football game where there's 30,000 people and no one really can hear him, he will yell, "Accounting major," every time they make a good play. So, you know, I think let's all be a little louder and crazier and support our yes. student athletes.
It's inspiring.
There are worse things we could do.
It's inspiring.
It's fun to cheer for your players who yes. you love and see them in a different light.
Absolutely. And be a fan. I mean, people like our husbands are not giant fans of sports for no reason, right? They enjoy it. It's fun. It gives them a feeling of being a part of something bigger than themselves. And so I think that if you show up like Ms. Kessler with your sign, you're very much a part of something bigger. You're very much becoming a part of the team in a way that sometimes you and I giggle at, like, okay, you're not playing this game. Dr. Hassan or Jason Swilly, but in a way you are in your heart when you show up as a real fan.
Yeah. And maybe there's something we as women can learn from that.
Like, I agree.
Let's get out and support our women's sports
yes.
the same way. Like, let's pull for them, support them, bring our signs, wear the shirts, do the thing.
I love it. I love it. Now, I will tell you a truth. The last basketball game I went to was some sort of district or regional playoffs. And it was so tense. that our administration was standing at the toward the end of the game. They were standing behind the bench facing the crowd. And I believe our principal at the time kind of beckoned Jason, because he's big, you know, he's a wall, to come down, because they were very worried that something was going to pop off, because it was such a tense game and a big stakes game. And I felt during that game that I had three or four heart attacks, because basketball is so fast.
It's fast.
And it changes constantly. And I would be like so happy and then so upset and then so happy and so tense. I was like, I can't go to basketball anymore. I don't know if it's healthy for me. So I'm going to have to dip my toe back in.
Yes. Get back in there. Get back in there. And then when someone gets a little rough with your favorite player and all of a sudden they're down on the court, yeah, that'll get you going.
Well, and I do that at football games too. I'm a little famous in certain circles for being ready to rush the field and take on number 14 for his behavior or whatever toward my students. So that's the problem for me too. I get a little overengaged with what's going on. And so that might be part of the heart palpitations as well.
But we have to find the fun. We have to find a way to have fun in it and maybe take some deep breaths and just cheer and support. And because we talked about this, I think, off the pod earlier. The players have a way of putting it in perspective, the wins and losses.
Yes.
I think the fans sometimes have a harder time letting go of the loss and moving on than the players do. Like, the players are moving on. They're getting ready for the next game. It seems that sometimes it's the fans who can't move on and get ready for the next one.
Right. And I don't know if it's something that we've missed, Julie. Like, maybe we need to be that passionate that we have actual injured feelings. and so we have to get a little more engaged. And it's only better for our schools, better for our culture, better for our students if we show up and show out a little bit.
Yeah. And let's think about all the lessons we can learn from our student athletes.
Yes.
Not just let go of the loss, move on to the next play, to the next game, because mentally they have to do that. You can't play the next play if you're still back with your head back in the last play. I mean, what a great lesson for all of us who encounter any kind of loss or frustration or mistake. You got to let that go and move on, you know, play by play, and be, they're so, student athletes in the game are so present in the moment.
Yes.
Because they can't be worrying about what's going to happen in the next play or frustrated about what happened in the last play. It's this play right now. And I think we could all learn from that.
Yeah, especially teachers, for sure. For sure.
And maybe stay in the moment. Appreciated that about her basketball players.
You know,
all of those lessons that you can learn from athletes who train hard and work hard, and mentally and physically, we could all get some inspiration and lessons.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Let's do it. All right. Women's basketball. I'm going.
It's coming. I don't think ours has started yet. Has yours started?
Ours
has
just basketball just started.
Okay.
Both men's and women's. I believe volleyball ended. Softball is getting ready to start. But App's got some great women's sports, some really good athletes. And if I think back to our high school, we had a really good volleyball team. We had Jackie Eisenhower, Lisa Peterson, and Shannon, those three. We had an amazing volleyball team, and I regret that I didn't go watch them more.
Same with soccer. We really did have soccer.
Colleen Gallimore, who we still adore. We did. Even softball. I mean, well,
any ball she picked up, she was going to win. Absolutely.
But I do wish we had appreciated our women's. I mean, we didn't go to a lot of the sports anyway, unless we happen to be dating a player. Mm-hmm. But right. I wish we had supported our friends and learned from them about the sports they were playing.
Right. It was so outside my realm.
Do better.
Yeah. So
now that we know better, we're going to do better.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
So educators, let's support our student athletes. Mm-hmm. Let's learn some lessons from their modeling, their discipline, their mental and physical toughness. And let's wear the shirts and hold the signs and yes. do the cheers and all the yes. things. And we are cheering for you, educators. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Lessons That Last podcast. Don't forget, if you love this story or any of the stories we've shared on the pod, pick up the Lessons That Last book. We'll link the information in the show notes. Have a great week.
Bye, friends. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you will subscribe to the Lessons That Last podcast wherever you listen. Give us a rating too, which will help other listeners find us. And don't forget to visit chalkandchances.com for more stories. You can also find more information on Julie's research and books. While you're there, take the quiz to find out what kind of memorable teacher you are. I took it and was surprised by what I found. I think you'll find good food for thought. Let us know about your quiz results. We hope you will meet us here each week and bring a friend to share the conversation.